to come to order at 4:10 on the 23rd. Today we have before Senate Bill 11 Kodiak Narrow Cape Public Use Area. We have Mr. Rick Gifford online and Dick Miley is from DNR. So I think what we'll do is defer to you, Senator Stevens. Anything that you want to have added, overview, before we go to online testimony?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that and look forward to the testimony of Rick. Basically, this is establishing a public use area of 46,000 acres, Narrow Cape area, a very important recreational area for the people of Kodiak. And it also, besides a lot of activities, it's also used by for grazing leases by ranchers there, and also used by the Kodiak Launch Complex. So it has multiple uses, and everyone involved in it is supportive of going to this next step of developing a public use area. So I look forward to hearing testimony, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you. And just a question for you. For those that have the input here from Stacy Studebaker from the Kodiak Audubon Society, one of the notes that she makes at the very bottom of page one is she's very concerned about increasing impacts of unregulated four-wheeler use on wetlands and bird habitat. And I don't know how extensive the wetlands or the bird habitat are, but you know, it's obviously something that needs to be addressed with the person that's concerned as we go through. But we can talk to Dick Milius about that. And I assume that was covered to some degree, Doug, in the public testimony and in the public meetings that happened.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Doug Letch, staff to Senator Gary Stevens. I was actually down here during the time period when they developed the area plan in Kodiak. So a lot of the information we had gotten on this, and this was a couple of years ago, but it's recent enough so that the area management plan that was developed in conjunction with the department, the borough of Kodiak, addressed a lot of these issues. And there was a local ATV working group that tried to resolve some of these issues. And I think Mr. Milius from the department might be able to speak more accurately about the ATV type of issues, but it's an area, it's a kind of a sensitive subject because there's a large community of users in Kodiak, and there's a group of folks that aren't necessarily as enthralled with those users as well. So I think in discussions with members of the Kodiak Island Borough and also with the different people on that type of an issue, I think that all along we've kind of thought that this was something that was going to be developed at the local level, policy to use that out there as part of that plan. And I think that's where they were trying to get to with this local ATV working group over the past few years in Kodiak. And maybe Mr. Gifford, too, from the borough can further elaborate on that.
And the other one that comes to mind, I haven't seen anything listed other than, as I recall, there's hunting in this area. But in the public use area, the Connect public use area, one of the difficulties was indiscriminate shooting. And, you know, I guess the question would be how close it is to neighbors that reside in the area where there's a built-up area nearby or not. Or is there a range nearby that people can go shoot at or...
No, Mr. Chairman, the range is some distance away, so it's not in that area at all. And I need to know an answer maybe from the borough about hunting areas. There's certainly deer in the area, but I'm not sure that that's open to hunting. Doug, do you know the answer to that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stevens, I think there's some limited hunting around that area, but it's off the road system. It's on the road system, but you have to get out and you can't just stop and shoot a deer or anything like that. And I believe Mr. Burton has a buffalo hunting on his ranch, but I may be wrong about that. A lot of details get fuzzy the further I'm down here. You know?
Well, no, I understand. When we talk to Mr. Gifford, the borough manager, my assumption, he'll give us a little bit of insight to it. So why don't we go to him. Mr. Rick Gifford?
Hello, this is Rick Gifford.
Yes, Mr. Gifford, did you hear our conversation about the public use area and the uses as far as four-wheeler traffic and wetlands and bird habitat and shooting and neighborhoods that might be nearby and shooting ranges that might be in proximity?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, could you just give us an overview of how you see things unfolding from a management standpoint, and any concerns or things that you, that quite frankly, bring to our attention that have been resolved that would give us all confidence that you know, as we move forward, that it's synchronized and people have generally the same expectation.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senators, I believe that the goal of this bill is to try to, you know, again, protect this area for public use. And in working with Senator Stevens' office to draft the bill, we tried to identify all of the traditional uses that have gone out there in that area, realizing that there are some conflicts between a couple of the uses that are going to have to be worked on. One, of course, being the ATV use and where they're using the ATVs. Our hope, of course, is to get this bill that will protect that property from being sold, and then we can work on managing the uses that are out there. And I think Doug is right that there are some groups that are trying to work that out. I'm not that familiar with the hunting. It's kind of my staff that indicated to me that there has been some hunting out there, and I think it's primarily what may be happening with Mr. Burton's ranch, but that is my understanding.
Yeah, and potentially maybe Mr. Miley is here in a few moments can give us a little bit of insight into that. But the history of the area as far as usage, have there been any conflicts that needed resolution over time, or are we just proactively trying to nip that in the bud?
I would say at this point that it's something that we're just trying to kind of actively trying to manage currently. And the biggest one that I'm aware of is this ATV issue.
Right. And then when you look at, I don't know, as an example, people that want to go and ride their horse, or let's say they want to ride a four-wheeler, or they just want to go hiking, is there an entry point? Are there multiple entry points? Is there parking areas? Are there latrines?
There's actually multiple entry points, and the only latrine that I'm aware of is actually prior to getting to this area, Narrow Cape, where the Passaic Park State Park is, and that's only available in the summertime.
And I'm not that familiar with Kodiak in the wintertime, but is this also an area that snow machine activity in the winter?
Mr. Chairman, my knowledge is it's probably somewhat limited snow machine in this particular area. They have to go up higher into the mountains. People still do go out there, though, for surfing still in the wintertime and you know, on the beaches and just the sightsee.
Right. Now, in getting a little more specific, DNR will have responsibility for management of the public use area. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chairman, that's my understanding, yes.
So then I guess the next question is, you as the borough manager, what responsibility do you have based on being a neighbor for, if nothing else, management responsibility? How do you mesh up in that? Because my assumption, you have adjacent area enforcement, signage, infrastructure support. All of those are things that are your responsibility.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We probably have some responsibility when it comes to solid waste. It is a state road system that's out there. But I think we work well with the state parks and DNR in trying to resolve some of these issues and to work with the citizens about their concerns.
Okay. If you would, Rick, just stand by for a moment. Doug, could you bring the map and hold it someplace where we each can see it and describe to us the best you recollect how you get in and out of the area and private property versus public property?
Oh, sure, Mr. Chairman. There's really a One way down there, it's the state highway system that runs from one end of Razanoff Drive, basically, which is close to the city of Kodiak, about 12 miles past the city of Kodiak from Monashka Bay, runs down all the way to a fork in the road, and you take a left and you wind up in Chiniac, which is Cape Chiniac out there, and then this other road
That's not helping some of us very much. We're not familiar with all those locations.
Sure, yeah. Well, there's basically one highway.
If you would show us the roads that just... Tell us about the roads that lead to it. Point those out to us, first of all, so we know how you get there.
The road is right there by Passaic Bay, the head of Passaic Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It'd be this area here.
Okay, so that's the main corridor.
That's the main corridor.
All right.
It's one road. It runs past the Burton's Ranch. After Passaic, it runs past the Burton's Ranch, Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation, and comes to an abrupt bend at what they call Fossil Beach, which is at the very end of Narrow Cape.
Okay. So,
should be down in this area.
Let's just address that road network for a moment. Mm-hmm. Tell us the name of the road again.
Well, it's the state highway. We call it the Passaic Road.
Passaic Road. If you were coming down and you were going to offload your four-wheeler and park your four-wheel drive Silverado pickup, where would you do that?
Well, that's a great question. I've never done that, sir. But there's some pullouts along the road there. There's the Passaic Beach, which is back up in this area here, Passaic right. Bay. It's probably where I think most people would probably park, because there's generally good parking up there. There's really no other areas to park, but there's probably some spots along the side of the road, I think, that you could pull off. If you go to the very, very end of the road, you wind up at a cliff, and from there it's just foot traffic.
Okay. And then there, I can see some other secondary roads, looks like.
Yeah, I think that's secondary roads you see, sir, are the ones that lead into the rocket launch complex, and also adjacent to that is Mr. Burton's Buffalo Ranch.
Okay. And show us where the rocket launch complex is.
That would be this area right in here. And it's a fairly extensive area operated by the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation. And they've been running that, coming up about 10 years now.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that there's a big hurricane fence or something that number one, has it marked, number two, that keeps you from being able to get into the area.
That is correct. There's the secure areas of the rocket launch complex are fenced off. There's some there's kind of sprawled out there now. There's I'm not sure how many launch pads they have there now, but they're sprawled out in this area, and you do have to go through secured areas to get to different parts of that.
Okay. So if somebody from Anchorage said, we want to come down to the public use area, they'd come down the main road,
mm-hmm.
park someplace, and get off. And that's essentially the way you get there.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Other questions or comments about Senator Green?
I have a couple of questions. Is all of the land involved owned by one level of government except for the in holdings? That are owned by private individuals? Or is it federal land, state land, borough lands?
I don't know the answer to that. Rick, can you tell us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Senators. I believe it's all state land, and then they have that lease in holding for the Buffalo Ranch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Doug, you may want to respond to this as well, and this gentleman may. On page 2, line 28, we're talking about deciding what could be done there and all. It says, except as provided in this section, the commissioner may prohibit or restrict uses determined to be incompatible with the purposes of the Kodiak Narrow Cape public use area under et cetera, within the state-owned land and water described in AS Section 41. So I wonder, where does that start in the rights and the authority of the borough overlap?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Green, I think that's a good question for Mr. Gifford, if he does have access to the Kodiak area plan there. Or perhaps Dick Miles from the department.
It sounds like to me the state has authority over the land, not the borough. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Okay. And reminded everyone, we're on version Kilo. CS. Mr. Gifford, you agree that this is state land, not borough land?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Are there any private holdings in the area?
Mm-hmm. The ranch.
Besides the ranch?
I don't believe so. I think the ranch is the only one that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Are there any potential native claim, First Nation, future claims that might be pending?
Mr. Chairman, none that I know of. There is native property and some private property on the road system leading up towards this area, but between the city of Kodiak and this area, but not in this area.
Okay. Okay, let's go to Dick Miley. Is Dick, are you there?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I am here.
Right. If you would put yourself on the record, and we would like for you to give us an overview of the management plan of the area and, you know, what sort of coordination has been done thus far, what remains to be done, and challenges that we might need to be aware of.
Okay. For the record, my name is Dick Milius. I'm the director of the Department of Natural Resources Division of Mining, Land, and Water. And I'll give a quick overview of what the public use area does a little bit, which is to set aside this state land, retain it in public ownership for a multitude of public uses. It would prohibit the sale or transfers of the parcel out of state ownership. And the area is entirely state-owned with the exception of the 160-acre parcel owned by Mr. Burton, which he received through the federal government. But the remainder of the land is state land. We have a current land use plan for Kodiak. It's called the Kodiak Area Plan. It's for all state lands in Kodiak Island Borough, and that's about 500,000 acres total plus the adjacent tidelands. And when we did that land use plan, it dealt with most of the land use conflicts. The specific conflicts in this general area included some issues related to ORV use, but most of the real conflicts with ORV use are actually further to the west in the areas of, I believe it's Portage Bay and Saltry Cove. And in those areas, the management plan
Hey, Dick, stand by one. Doug, would you point those out as he calls off areas? Yeah, I'm sorry, Dick. Go ahead. We're trying to track what you're saying on the map.
Okay. Anyhow, though, the conflicts that we had identified down there were largely to the west of the public use area. There aren't a whole lot of current management conflicts within the public use area, and that's one of the reasons why one of the changes made in the proposed committee substitute is to delete make the requirement for the land use plan an optional thing, because at this point in time, we think that the guidance that the Kodiak Area Plan gives to the department is sufficient, that we don't have the types of conflicts that we do in, for example, the Kinnick public use area to justify or require us to do a management plan at this point in time. If in the future we get into that level of conflict, we could do a management plan. But like I say, right now, we don't see that level of conflict in this area. And also, we don't, some questions came up about issues of shooting. We've never heard complaints about shooting in this area. And unlike the Kinnick, there's no local residents other than Mr. Burton close by. So it's the level of use is a lot less intense than what you see in the Kinnick. And we don't have, again, the type of enforcement issues either out there. So short term, we do not see a need for a management plan for this area, but the department always has the ability to go in and do one in the future. But I think the only other issues, I guess, that resulted in the committee substitute, which I would like to just clarify, that the change to the legal description is to both the old legal description that was in the original bill and the committee substitute both included tidelands, but the way it was described, the legislative drafters said that the previous version was inconsistent with how we've described those areas in past public use areas and past legislative areas, so they wanted to make that description more consistent in terms of format, so that's the primary change there. It actually neither added or deleted any lands to the public use area. It was just to make more clear what the boundaries were.
Okay. Dick, let me ask you, obviously there's the firing area. Describe the management process when, in a week's time frame, when there's going to be a firing take place on a Saturday. You give me the what happens leading up to that from your management standpoint of the area?
Senator, if I could, I'd like to defer that to Mike Sullivan, who works for the South Central Regional Office of Division of Mining, Land, and Water, and who's basically administers that permit to the aerospace folks, is probably far more capable of answering that question, so I'd like to turn that over to him.
Oh, is he there with you?
Yes, he's here with me.
Okay, please. Just have Mike, put yourself on the record, please.
My name's Mike Sullivan. I'm a land manager in the South Central Region in the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. And I've worked on the on and with the rocket facility since the inception. In answer to your question, the procedure that's in place right now is we'll get a written request from the Aerospace Corporation telling us on approximate dates of the upcoming launch and requesting permission to restrict access in a time frame. Usually it's 12 hours, sometimes less, around that launch, anticipated launch time. And we'll grant written permission for those restrictions on a launch-by-launch basis, which so far we've probably done that, I don't know, 5-6 times, and it seems to work pretty well.
So how is I as a four-wheeler, how am I going to know that I'm not supposed to be in the public use area?
Part of the procedure, and I probably should have said this, is PSAs on the local radio. The launches are advertised in local media, the newspaper as well. So those are the primary means of getting the word out that there's going to be a restriction.
So are there actual security guards that are posted on the road, or how does that work?
Yes, there are.
Yeah, and I guess the reason I ask that, I grew up in a little place called Cape Canaveral. I remember one time watching a shot that was being prepared, and suddenly the camera picks up two or three young guys stalking the missile. In all seriousness, and then suddenly you see the security guys coming into the same frame chasing these guys around. And this is out in the middle of nowhere, and they've got more security gates and people armed and attack vehicles and all sorts of things. But they were still out there, is my point. And here we have a public use area that butts right up against it. I'm just thinking about scenarios where I'm not saying we're going to replicate that, but we would. Any concerns from your perspective, Mike, that might come to bear as far as having a public use area and being able to restrict access so that we don't run into any conflicts at firing time or safety problems?
I think the procedure we've got seems to work pretty well. You know, it's open country out there. It's not forested or anything. So they sweep the area with helicopters, and the Coast Guard works the offshore area. Seems to work pretty well.
Okay.
And Senator, yes. Mike, this is Senator Stevens. And as I recall, there have been maybe as many as three launches a year, and I know at one point they were talking about maybe up to six, so there's a pretty limited number of times that occurs. And this also includes notice to mariners about ships at sea, so the area around there in the water is closed down as well. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's correct. That's what I was alluding to when I mentioned the Coast Guard.
Right.
Yeah, very good. And okay, listen, Mike or Dick, whichever one's appropriate. In the case of people that are coming down, they want to park their vehicle and offload their four-wheeler, can you describe to us where that location is and what the capacity is?
Well, like Dick said, the majority of the ATV use is further to the west. There may be some associated up with the Sacramento River area, which is beyond Mr. Burton's homestead. But, you know, the times I've been there, I have not seen an actual ATV trail that takes off from the road into the public use area. The ATV use would more likely be on the beaches, from my experience.
Yeah, I understand. I guess, you know, from a state policy management perspective, I mean, we know the difficulties we have if we don't have a designated area for people to park. If we don't have a place for them to be able to dump their trash and all those sorts of things, we suffer the consequences. So, I mean, I think in all fairness to the users and the local community, I mean, we have to have a plan that allows people a place to park and things of that nature so that I mean, quite frankly, if we're searching for somebody and we see their vehicle there for X number of days, it's a hint, as an example, just working backwards from it. But could you tell us in the future how you see facilitating that sort of thing?
Senator, I think at this point most of the use is fairly dispersed, and in a lot of areas people just park along the side of the road and such, and there hasn't been any real park. The road is not that heavily traveled, and there are a few places to pull off, but we've never had any issues where people said there was inadequate parking and such. And we've also actually never had any complaints about trash and such. I think it's probably, like I say, the level of use is less than at Connect, for example. And one of Connect's problems is that it's kind of become a dumping ground for people's trash and stuff like that. And this is a long ways from Kodiak and stuff, so that the only folks that are going out to this area are people that are into recreating, and they aren't going out there for other activities, really, for the most part. But if and when that became a problem, we could identify areas for parking and such. Like I said, at this point, we haven't heard from the public that there's a need for any facilities out here.
Yeah, Dick, let me ask you the question here that is proposed by Stacy Studebaker from the Kodiak Audubon Society. Says she's very concerned about the increased impacts of unregulated four-wheel use on the wetlands and bird habitat.
Senator, my understanding is that, like I say, that most of the wetland areas I know that are sensitive to RV use are mostly to the west of the public use area. There's some that are right adjacent to it, but we haven't had any real conflicts with those areas. And the same thing, I'm not aware of any conflicts we've had with ORVs and birds. Like Mike pointed out, a lot of the ORV use is along the beaches, and then the other areas it's actually along trails, and I don't think it actually even gets into bird areas. One of the differences between, for example, this and the Knick is the Knick, you have a lot of gravel bars and areas that are easy for ORVs to travel across. The nature of the terrain on Kodiak is that it's a little less inviting for ORVs, I would say, unless you actually have a trail or a beach or something like that. So I think the use tends to be more focused on existing trails or old roads and things like that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Dick, I don't recall, but would you address the hunting piece of it, or Mike?
Senator, I'm actually not familiar with exactly what some of the hunting issues are out there. Again, we've heard no significant issues come up regarding hunting in the area. There is some hunting out there, but it's not a big use of the area at this time, as I understand it.
Okay. Any comments, Senator Stevens?
Just to point out to you, there's a lot of deer hunting around the Passaic Bay area. If you see it just to the west of this area we're talking about, and then north of that and farther to the west. So there's a considerable deer hunting out there. In fact, you should be aware that that whole area, Passaic Shack, it's a wonderful salmon fishing stream. A lot of people stop there. They park a lot of parking. There's parking there, and there's latrines as well. So it's really well used, just adjacent to it, but it's outside the confines of this public use area.
Yes, and Senator, as they mentioned, it's pretty wide open space down there. There's no real trees or anything to hide behind in that part of it. So it's not like there's a lot there, but what is there is very special to the people of Kodiak. And
right.
I think more likely than not, the people that are going down to that part of the island are going down to walk the beach. And it's a very wonderful beach with fossils embedded in the cliff sides, nicknamed Fossil Beach. It's a good stop along the track. Anytime tourists come into town, friends of mine or whatever, we head down there, and the drive out there is really cool.
Yeah. So if you came across on a ferry, I assume someplace in Kodiak can probably rent a four-wheeler. Is that true?
I don't think so. I've never.
Well, let's assume you can. Okay. Let's assume you can rent a four-wheeler. How long would it take you to run from Kodiak on a four-wheeler down to that neck of the woods?
It's an hour by car.
Oh,
from
really?
Kodiak to to Passaic Shack, at least an hour or so. Well, I have friends who go faster than that, but normally about an hour. So you wouldn't find rentals down there, I don't think. You know, a local use, but not rentals.
I don't believe four-wheelers are licensable in the state of Alaska, so they couldn't run down the state road in it.
Yeah. Well, if it's Matt Sue, they run on the side of the road.
Yeah, and just to make it clear, I mean, if you and your teenage buddies were trying to sneak up on the rocket launch, you'd be in the open all the way. Yeah, you'd be crossing tundra.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Other questions or comments?
Yeah, I have.
There you, Senator Green.
In the second letter from Carolyn Heitman. She mentions about the potential expansion of the Alaska Aerospace Development Corp and that it has been referred to as a spaceport. Now, she's concerned about it expanding and doesn't want that to happen. But if, an area that we've invested in pretty highly and kind of supported with various funds to a great extent, legitimately needs to explore, to expand and enhance what it's doing, is that prohibited by this legislation?
I guess they would have eminent domain for the spaceport expanding.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sure the borough manager can add more details than I can, but the rocket launch has been, a good citizen, good support to the community, and I think they have the right to expand should they need to, but I'm not sure if there are any plans in that way. Mr. Manager, could you comment on that? This, what we're dealing with right here, does not restrict, adds no additional restrictions on the AADC, does it?
Chair, Senator Stevens, no, it doesn't add any additional restrictions. And in fact, we've actually ran this bill past Pat Lander and the AADC, and they've actually come out in support of the bill.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Senator Huggins, Mr. Chairman, I believe Dick Miley is too can answer questions regarding the expansion of AADC and what authority the state would have in that process.
Yeah, Dick, did you hear what Doug had to say?
Yes, Senator, I can address that. Two parts to that, really. What the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation has is what's called an interagency land management agreement. So it's still state land, and they have an agreement that gives them certain rights to the land, and that those rights include the rights to put specific facilities in specific places on that land. They have to submit a plan of operations. And the area that they actually have under that interagency land management agreement is a pretty big area, and actually only a smaller part of that is actually occupied by any sort of facilities now. If they wanted to expand within that existing agreement area, they could just submit to us a revised plan of operations, and we possibly could make them tweak that or something, especially if they were impacting any trails or public uses or anything like that. But they could get approval to expand on that site, but it would require to go through a process with DNR. But there's plenty of room within this area, and the legislation doesn't constrain them at all.
Senator Green.
Well, I want to be sure I understand if he's talking about the land that they already have access to. I'm talking about if they want to go past, outside the land they currently have access to and is in their interagency land agreement.
Right. Dick, did you hear Senator Green's question?
Yes, Senator Green, to the chair. They would have to get our approval to expand the actual facilities they have within that existing area, or if they wanted to expand geographically to beyond the existing area. In either case, they would need our approval. Either one would be allowed under the public use area. If they were doing significant expansions, though, we'd go out to the public to get public comments on that, because that's been a concern of the public as to, like, how and where they expand and so on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Yeah, Dick, is there a person that's specifically responsible for the management of the area?
Senator, not in the sense that we have, like, with the
the CNIC, where we actually had a person who was funded through that public use area. But we do, it's our South Central Regional Office that is responsible for that. And probably Mike Sullivan is probably the closest single person to having authority over that area, although he deals with management issues throughout South Central, but he's been very involved with the rocket launch facility.
Right. And if given a scenario that for some reason we needed some sort of enforcement in an area in the public use area, what would be the process?
Senator, for this particular area, it would kind of depend on the nature of the issue. If it's an issue that is, for example, a trespass or something that's a longer-term thing, then our folks in the regional office would deal with it probably through a site inspection and whatever follow-up. If it was an immediate problem, if it was actually there was a public safety concern, we probably rely on the troopers in Kodiak to go out there for us. I'm not aware that we've ever actually had anything out there that, in terms of a land management thing, where we've needed the troopers to get out there for. But they're kind of our emergency enforcement, because we don't have anybody actually for the division that's in Kodiak. We do have a state park office in Kodiak, and at times they've gone down there to check on things for us if, you know, we were suspicious that there was an issue, but they don't actually have any enforcement authority down there.
Okay, very good. Doug, anything you want to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Towards the end of the meeting, last time on Friday, there were some questions. I believe yourself and Senator Wagner had questions about how much land is currently owned by the borough and whatnot. Senator Stevens did say about two-thirds of Kodiak Island is Kodiak National Wildlife Refuge property already. The borough of Kodiak has about 56,500 acres of land, and their entitlement has been satisfied. So the rest of that area down there, the state area that's not the native holdings, or native holdings rather, that we had identified earlier as all state land. So there's very little public recreational land, really, when you consider it on the Kodiak road system, some state parks and whatnot. And this would be another way of guaranteeing, at least with the terms of the current bill, that what's there is going to be there in the future, and that the department has the ability to manage that land, and that if the state decides to dispose of the land, that you, the legislature, has a role in the process. And I think Senator Stevens said it best. This is a bill that's been supported by everybody.
Yeah, and that appears to be the beauty of it. You have very little public land in the area, and this is a way of preserving public access to the land, which I think everyone would be supportive of. Questions or comments from other members? Do I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we move from committee CS for Senate Bill number 111, version K.
Are there objections? Seeing no objections, version K will be moved from committee. Thank you. And we'll take about a 3-minute recess.